This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, Thunder Rosa gives her moments and memories of being back at Daly's place for the first time in over 2 years. Also, we speak to Ryan Nemeth of AEW, and then Mickie James joins the podcast and talks about her now being a huge part of OVW. All that right now on the Busted Open Podcast.
Great morning, David. It was TV time this Wednesday, and Thunder Rosa was on TV with a great team. Chris Statlander, Willow Nightingale, Anna Jay versus the Outcast and Sky Blue, and definitely one of the most popular, loved champions, Julia Hart. And let me tell you, David, what a moment for me to come back to Daly's place. I have not been there wrestling for almost like 2 years. That's what a lot of my fans were reminding me. I want to remind everybody, if you don't know about me, and this is the first time that you listen to me talk, I made my jump for my bigger career at Daly's place in August 2020 during the pandemic. I was given an opportunity to wrestle Serena Deeb. We both were not signed. I was signed with the NWA at the time. I was a champion and she was not signed. After that match, she went along and got signed. And I went along for a crazy ride, David, and where so many wonderful things happened to me. And one of them, I will have to say, because this is the one that everybody reminds me, and we won a match of the year in 2021, the Lights Out match, which I think it revolutionized modern women's wrestling in a way that it was never been seen before. Because, you know, Britt Baker and I, we took it to the next level, and we were allowed to do that during that match. Main eventing for the first time at AEW. I mean, this place has been a cornerstone in my career and a cornerstone for a lot of people's career during this time, because It allowed people that never seen before to have an opportunity and a huge platform for them to show who they were. I am so proud of everybody that was in the match on Wednesday. And like I said, I believe that this time in AEW, I am involved with some of the best crew of women's wrestlers that we ever had on AEW. And we have champions from so many different backgrounds, which makes it even amazing. You know, again, I really enjoy being with former champions there, and like champions like Julia Hart. And like we interviewed her last week and Busted Open. She's definitely one of the ones that I have a target for. If I given an opportunity, I'm definitely going to go after that. But and then you have a Sky Blue. There's so many people that are so popular in that match, and the way that they allow me to be in this homecoming kind of showcase match, it was super special. And I think another important thing for Anna Jay to have won at Daly's place is that's another place where she also became a superstar. And she was able to pay homage to Brody Lee, which was super important at the beginning of AEW. So, I mean, I have so much to say, and I don't want to make it all about me, but I can tell you, I don't know if I'm the only one who felt that way, but I can tell you, I was having flashbacks of all the good and bad things that happened for me. But it's like, this is like the journey that I went through the last 2 years, and how special and how challenging it was at times. I am really thankful that I was able to be on Dynamite, and I was really thankful for, there was a little fan, she dressed up like me, and her parents told me about it, and I totally forgot that I was on TV. I just went down.
Yeah, I saw you like pointing at her, and they showed her. They the camera showed her in the crowd. I have a lot of questions, Thunder. So, okay. Tommy and I started off the show yesterday about Daly's place, and we were talking about, you know, the big venues in the history of pro wrestling. And listen, like a lot of people are saying, well, come on, you can't compare a Daly's place to Madison Square Garden. Well, for AEW in this very short period of time, because AEW's only been around for 5 years. Daily Place is kind of like their major venue because of the lockdown and because of COVID-19 and because of all those shows that AEW had at Daily's Place for a long time. That was the headquarters of AEW for what, a year or more?
Yeah,
you know,
more.
All of AEW's programming came out of Daily's Place. But let's put that aside for a second, because it was your return, as you said, in over 2 years to Daily's Place. You mentioned about the match with Britt Baker, and you mentioned the match with Serena Deeb. There's a lot of things, because that match in March of 2021, in a lot of ways, that elevated your career, elevated Britt Baker's career. I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, Thunder, that was the first time you ever bled in a match, correct?
Was that match? Yeah, it was that match. Yes, I was. That was the first time. And I was very adamant about it. I mean, I like to do street matches and stuff, but I never thought that I will do something like that. But it paid off, because that was, you know, going back, seeing a lot of the pre-tapes that we did and the promos and everything, it just made sense, right? That happened. And I think when you do things like that in terms of like bleeding and to tell a bigger story and to be a bigger payoff, I think it was really important for the story at the time.
So you're at Daily's Place. It's March of 2021. You still have not been signed by AEW.
Nope.
And then
nope.
You're going to do this match that's a main event match on Dynamite. And you're going to bleed for the first time. I'm sure you've never done a match like that. So I can't imagine all the things that were going through your head. First time going to bleed. Main event match. You know, I'm not signed. This could make or break my career. There must have been 1,000 thoughts twirling around in your head before that match.
Absolutely, David. There isn't a point in my career, right, that some of the stuff were challenged. And I remember I was thinking in my head some thoughts, right? At the moment when I was in NWA, I was being leased to AEW. So I will say I wasn't getting paid as much as some people were, right? But you were like the workhorse. So you're like working all the time. At that point, it's not about the pay, like the monetary pay.
You had to prove yourself in a lot of ways.
Yes, there was a lot to prove myself. There was a lot for me to prove. I mean, I enter the cage in 2019 to prove to everyone that I was a tough bitch.
Now, just so people who don't know, in 2019, you had an MMA match. You stepped into the cage in 2019.
So if we talk about bleeding, I still have that. I have a cut right here to remind me that I challenged myself to a limit, because I could have gotten killed, like literally, because I trained for 6 months. I was a white belt. I had no business doing MMA, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to challenge myself, because people did not give me the chance, the time of the day as a professional athlete, because I was dancing, because I was having too much fun. It was just, they were not giving me the chance. I came to NWA. David Lagana saw something in me. And he was the one who proposed that I became the champion. Then when COVID happened, you know, I was defending the title everywhere I could. I was super active. Again, it was like earning my stripes to this point. And during those, when we were doing the buildup, there was something that it just never left my mind and hasn't left it yet. You don't even go here. You don't belong here. You're not from here. What are you doing here? Get out. You're not part of AEW. That was something that I was reminded every single week. So the fact that we have the lights out match and the fact that Tony Khan saw something, a potential in me, and gave me the opportunity to win at the lights out match, regardless if he counted to my record or not, that says something about him seeing something in me and him seeing something in other people. The Forbidden Door started at Daily's Place.
Yeah.
I was one of the first ones, if not probably the first one, to come as a champion to wrestle another champion for a pay-per-view and All Out, which was super special. Like I can tell you, there's so many things. I remember sitting with the FDR signing autographs that day when I came for All Out, And I still have that video and I watched it not too long ago. And now I'm working really close with Dax, which I want to give him a shout out. He's been a super support for me here since we started Collision. And him, Brian Danielson have, and even CM Punk, they saw a lot in me, you know, and they have a lot of faith in me as an athlete, right? So it was a very important moment in time in my career for me. And I can speak for other people like Hobbs, who's like now on top, Julia Hart, who started there. Man, there's so many people. And like, seriously, it wouldn't happen if we didn't have Daily's Place. So I went through all this. Going back to the question that you did. Yes, I had a lot of doubts. I didn't want to mess up. I did not want to mess up. I want to make sure that I give my best, my absolute best, to have the best match that Britt and I could have together. And I think we did an absolutely amazing job. I mean, our fans still talk about it. That's going to be one of the things that I am very proud of, that I was part of, that that we make it happen, that it build us up, and it really, again, it gave me a badge of honor. And people keep watching that match. That's the match that they show to their friends. Hey, you want to see some, you know, women's wrestling? Boom. They put that match and they're like, whoa, this is really cool. Like recently, last week, one of my new friends, that was the first match that she watched. She was 10 years old. She's never watched wrestling before. And she watched that match and she started watching all my matches. And then she came and watched me. He came and watched a show in North Carolina. And I took her to the back. She's like I said, she's 10. She didn't know nothing about women's professional wrestling. She fell in love with me. She fell in love with Serena Deeb. She fell in love with so many other women. Even she knew all the girls at AEW by the time that she went on Saturday. Right. So that's what I'm saying. Like we were able to create something really positive for women's wrestling, just in general. And Tony gave us that platform, which was a main event, an extreme match for women and all the stuff that were involved in that. So I'm very, very proud of that moment.
The number one pro wrestling show on the planet, Busted Open, is available 7 days a week by subscribing and downloading the Busted Open podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. Join me alongside two WWE Hall of Famers, Mark Henry and Bully Ray, the hardcore legend, Tommy Dreamer, plus Thunder Rosa and Mickie James, all week long as we break down everything going on in and out of the ring. Listen to Busted Open right now on the SXM app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We bring in Mr. Ryan Nemeth. Sir, how are you? And thank you so much for the time.
Mr. and Sir in the same sentence. I am just chuffed right now. Thank you for having me. Good morning.
Well, listen, man, we've never met. We've never met, so I have to show respect. We've never met.
What?
First time on the show.
How is that possible?
Wild. Well, listen, I'm honored to be here.
Thunder, the world's very big, Thunder, and there's many people.
Nah, not the wrestling world. It's very small.
Especially
we went in LA. We went to LA. Do you still live in LA?
I'm in LA, yeah.
Yeah, he's super active in LA, especially in the comedy scene. It just popped in my mind. I'm really sad that the Pasadena store, the Lucha Brothers store, is no longer there. But you had a comedy show there with your brother.
Yeah.
A couple of months ago, right? So and a lot of the wrestlers went and supported. So like, how did you get started in comedy?
Oh, sure. I'll tell you. You know, that show was so fun. It was the most of my wrestling community I've ever seen at one of our comedy shows. It was so fun. I started doing comedy in college before I ever got involved with wrestling. I was doing sketch and improv at, I would spend summers in Chicago doing Second City and IO and do a weekly show in Cincinnati, and then I moved to Chicago, and then I got into wrestling, and then at some point I got back into comedy, and now there's a nice little blend of the two together, which is cool. And I'll be doing a little show at The Stand tomorrow night in New York City, and Big Stokes on the show, so I'm pretty psyched about that. So if you want to see wrestlers do stand-up and ones that are good at it, I hope come tomorrow to see
Big Stokes.
Now, go for tickets, go to thestandnyc.com. There are still some tickets left, but they're going fast. So make sure you get them right now. If you're in your car, pull over and buy a ticket right now, especially if you're in New York City.
Safely stop the car. Please.
Yeah, I mean, well, listen, I just want to put that PSA out there because there could be some people that will just keep on driving. But, you know, you mentioned Stokely's going to be on that show. Kyle Lewis is also going to be on that show. Kyle Lewis is going to open up for my show February 10th at the Gramercy Theater. Kyle is going to do stand-up comedy along with Mark Henry Thunder. Mark's going to do stand-up comedy.
Oh,
so
my God.
I couldn't get Ryan or Nick. They're too big time for me. but you know what? They're going to be in New York City tomorrow. So make sure you check.
Talk to my agent and say, what the hell? Why did I miss?
Oh my God.
So see, there you go. You go through agents. I just pick up the phone and call people. But yeah, again, it's go to the Stand New York City, thestandnyc.com for tickets at the Stand on 16th Street in Union Square. And Ryan, like when it comes to comedy, does that help at all in the world of pro wrestling? Because pro wrestling isn't just about the wrestling in the ring. It is about personality. It is about character. It is about being comfortable on the microphone. So does that help at all?
Well, listen, it can help and it can hurt. It can help for all the reasons you just listed. I'm extremely comfortable on the microphone. I'm fine having a punchline made of me, and I'm quick on my feet. So that's great. For example, a year ago, I think it was in Cincinnati, Hangman Adam Page in our main event got injured unexpectedly, and the show kind of came to a halt, and the crowd was kind of uncomfortable, and he was getting wheeled out, and I just was nearby, and I think Tony just looked over and said, go out there, cut a promo, and I was like, okay, and then I got out there, got some heat with Cincinnati, and then the whole Blackpool Combat Club talked back to me and then beat my ass. And so that was good. You know, I was quick on my feet and I was able to kind of making the people laugh and boo me. And I could just get beat up real fast and it made people go home happy. But the trouble is that you can be stuck in a scenario where the boss will only see you as that. And then that's the danger zone. So it's a fine line you have to walk.
Ryan, in terms of your characters, I remember the first times I saw you, it was like at the Daily's place. You do this thing with the chunk, right? And you start dancing all sexy. And I was like, dude, that's gross. Do you do that when you do your comedy sets or now?
It came up, the last show we did in LA at the Lyric Hyperion Theater. We my brother and I took a few questions after our sets were done because the wrestling fans love asking questions. You can't deny them that, you know?
Yeah.
And one guy said, how exactly do you do that dance? And I said, well, why don't you come on stage and give it a shot? So we had him do it gave him some lessons on stage. And that was a nice moment for him and his friends and family cheering him. So, you know, once in a while, if it's interactive, yes. But it's not part of my act. No, not at all.
Now, you do shows with your brother as well, because your brother, Nick, does stand-up as well. Do you have to carry him? Like, is it one thing, like you're really funny, but, like, he's your brother, so you have to have him on the
terrible.
Show? Like, and listen, I don't mind saying this. You're Ryan, you're a very handsome man. Your brother thinks he's a handsome man. So, like,
David.
Hold on. I'm talking now. Like, how does that work for you? I mean, do you feel like how does that work? That brother combination, how does that work for you?
I have to say, this is the most honest and truthful question I've ever received. No one's ever put it so bluntly and so, you know, accurately. So thank you. He's extremely funny, but he is more in the school of loves traditional stand up. And a lot of people love that, you know. Here's my setup, punchline. Here's my setup. That's great. I can't do that. I'm more in the weird-ass world of, like, Andy Kaufman, Steve Martin kind of style. So it's a nice combination. When you go to see a Hunkamania show, that's our brand, you're going to get some weird, goofy, silly stuff from me, and you're going to get some traditional punchline setups from him. And we always have a couple of local amazing comics on and also some other guest wrestlers that show up. So, but yes, to answer the very easy question, I am the hotter one of the two. Yes, thank you.
Oh, wow. I mean, David says the same thing. Like, he says that he's the hotter of the two.
I got to be honest. What was that?
Who do you think is the hottest? I'm wondering. You haven't spoken yet.
Oh, yeah, your opinion actually really matters.
You, David. I'm not talking about you. You're like.
No, your opinion matters in this, Thunder. So the floor is yours, Thunder.
I want to know who you think is the hotter Nemeth. And if it's not me, I'm going to leave this interview crying.
Oh, my God. Well, I say that's a hard question. I am blushing now. I don't know.
It's not a hard question. I just told you the answer. Well, what the hell?
Ryan, I know you better. So I'm all about personalities, and I love your personality. I know how I love how you are. You're like the nicest.
Oh my God.
And that you have the best tan ever. Oh, let me tell you, like, he's had the best tan ever. He does. And he works Thank really you. Hard. He's a professional. You're a professional trainer too, right? And then he's written a book.
Sure, yeah.
For years now. So I know you better than your brother. So I will take you. There you go.
Thank you. I was worried this was going to be the way you let someone down where you don't want to go to the prom with them. You have a nice personality. You're very
awesome.
Thank you, Connor Rose.
Although I like your brother's hair better than yours. I'll have to say.
Wow. Well, you just had to, you couldn't have just stopped. You had to add that in there. All right.
I mean, they're both really nice people, but your brother has, you know, better hair.
I understand. You like the hair.
I like
now,
the hair.
Ryan, you're able to get on stage with your brother. Now, with your brother being outside of the WWE bubble, we saw it with New Japan at Wrestle Kingdom.
Yes.
Now you have opportunities to actually work with him in the world of pro wrestling. How excited are you that, you know, that your brother's gone on to this next stage in his career?
Well, I'm very excited about it. And man, I just had the flashback of when that kind of question is asked to someone and they say, well, you'll have to wait and see. I'm not doing that. I can't wait. I think that's so, like, come on. Is there something or isn't there? Which is it? I've been telling him to leave WWE for like over a decade now. I think it's always great to leave and reinvent yourself, or leave and just do something else, man. Mm-hmm. So I'm psyched to tag with him. I'm psyched to do more comedy shows with him. We just shot Wanted Man, which is like incredible. Been getting a huge positive response to launch his new character. We have 3 million views over social platforms.
Wow.
I'm so psyched about the positive response. Some horror websites have been doing write-ups on it. Like, that kind of stuff is what I'm psyched about. And it's, you can't do that kind of stuff when one of you is, you know, trapped in a very intense WWE schedule. So I'm very, very, very excited to start wrestling with him, doing events with him, and shooting more stuff. Yeah, Nemeth Bros forever, baby.
Talking about the Nemeth Brothers, I heard that you guys are, you know, Cleveland Browns fans. Is that right?
You heard that? Where'd you
hear that? I have a couple friends that are, you know, very big Browns fans, and they actually talk about your brother and him going and doing some stuff when he was in WWE out there. Mm-hmm. But I have something for you, man. Tomorrow, Texans play at the Texans Stadium tomorrow at 3:30, and it's sold out. And I want to say, if the Texans win, they want to do a bet with you.
Uh-huh.
If the Texans win, you have to wear a Texans jersey. If
that
the Browns
will never win, over my dead body will they win.
Whatever.
But I accept the challenge.
There you go. And if you guys win, I will wear a Browns jersey, and you'll have to come back and bust it open. And actually, you probably, I would like for you to do like a really bad joke about. How about that?
I accept the terms. Let's do it. And tomorrow is a big day for many reasons, and that's one of them. Let's do it.
Yeah, there you go, Dave.
Go Browns!
All right, Ryan, for you,
mm-hmm.
wrestling or comedy?
Oh, man. Well, comedy hurts a lot less, and lately I've been doing a lot more of it. So, you know, I can do comedy when I'm 80. I can't wrestle when I'm 80, so... Grand scheme of things, long term, there's my answer.
Okay, so it's comedy. Oh, go ahead, Thunder.
Yeah, we're talking about comedy hurting a lot less. I went to see Iron Claw, and I saw you there. And I was like, oh, that's fine. That's cool. I've seen you in different movies, but this was really cool. The wig and everything was really funny.
Oh, I love the hair so much. Every day when they took that off, I was so sad. I was so sad. I love the Gino hair.
Just tell us more about your experience of working for Iron Claw.
Sure. I auditioned for the role, and you know, when you audition for something, you kind of just have to put it out of your mind. Like, you'll get it or not. Don't think about this. Don't obsess over it. And I was flying to an AEW show. I was in the air, and I decided, well, let me get Wi-Fi. I'm kind of bored. So I signed in the Wi-Fi, and I had all these messages from my manager going, call me now. We need to confirm. Yes or no. Call me. And I was like, what is this about? I guess you can't get calls in the air. So I've been missing these calls. And he said, we got an offer for Gino Hernandez. Can you please, you got to tell this company. And I was like, oh yeah, for sure. You know? So I was psyched, and it was kind of a panicky moment. So I was excited, but also like, oh, freaking out. But it was so great. We spent, I think I worked 3 weeks on the movie, 2 weeks and then left and then came back for another week. We shot so much Geno stuff, which if you see the movie, you'd be amazed because it's just, it's a kind of a quick appearance. But there is maybe someday there'll be a deleted scenes Geno vignette released. You know, probably not, but that'd be great. I love the hair. I thought the hair was so great. And Natalie, who handled the hair, is up for all these awards around the world for that. So that's really great. I thought Zach Harris, Jeremy Allen White, they were all just incredible. The first day I showed up for stunt rehearsal, they were like just dialed in watching Von Erich's matches. And I thought, well, this is not what I expected. I kind of expected them to, you know, deliver dialogue and then have stunt people come in. But they were awesome. It was a great experience. I'm very lucky to have been part of it. And like I said, I was so sad every time the Geno hair got taken off. I love that look, man. The wardrobe, the gold chains, like, man, that was fun. Just really great.
And talking about the stunts, Chavo just got a, I think he's up for to get an award, right?
Oh, yeah.
For the stunt work that he did for this movie. How was it to work with him and work, and did you see like how he was training
actors? Oh, yeah, definitely. I've worked with Chavo many times on TV and film kind of related things with wrestling. We worked on my short film Heel together. We worked on Glow together, the season that never aired. And so this would have been the third or fourth time we did something together. That was great. I love working with him. He has such a great language with actors who aren't wrestlers. He can really convey information to them safely that they can understand and do. And when they can't do it, you know, for example, Zac Efron would say, I'm comfortable doing this, or, you know, today I'm not feeling it. And that's fine. There's someone else who would step in and do it, or we can work around it. I love working with Chavo. It's great. And he was like my older brother's mentor too. So it's always great to do something. Okay. I always send a photo to my family. I go, look who I'm with, you know, when he was Kerwin White and my brother was his caddy just so long ago. I spent my birthday with him there. I was like, man, it's my birthday. And he took me out for a pizza and a beer while we were shooting, like not during shooting, like at nighttime, you know? So great family friend. Love Chavo.
How does it feel to be a part of this movie? Because it's only been released domestically. It's already doubled its budget, up for so many awards. Like, everybody's talking about it. How does it feel just to be a part of this?
I think that I knew as we were filming it, when I would look through the monitor, because they were filming it all on, shooting it all on film, I could tell right away that this was going to be the best depiction of pro wrestling I've ever seen in film or TV. And going to see the actual film, final product, I confirm that. I think the in-ring stuff and the out-of-the-ring emotional and family interactions, I think it's the best depiction of pro wrestling ever in cinema. I cannot believe I'm part of it. I am, like, elated to be a small part of this amazing film, and I want, like, everybody in the world to see it. Because it's, whether you know wrestling or not, and I know a lot of people who don't know wrestling who have been texting me the last month saying, oh, my God, this movie, and I'm like, yes. Now you get a little bit of why people get hooked on this.
So, David, I just want to say Chavo Jr., Guerrero Jr., was nominated for Best Stunt Coordinator for the Iron Claw at Austin Film Critics Association. So I think this is going to open up more opportunities for him. And like you said, Chavo has been tremendously important for a lot of shows and movies. And now we saw this. And yes, if you guys have an opportunity to go in and see it, go and support. Like, a lot of you guys were part of, a lot of wrestlers, like real wrestlers were part of this. And MJF was an executive producer. So it is important that, especially with our community, to go and support things that were made for professional wrestling or by professional wrestlers, right? And although this, the story of the Von Erichs was very tragic and very dramatic, honestly, like if you all know, and went and saw what happened to the family, this is just, you know, a depiction of that. And I had a great time seeing you and seeing some of the people that I know. And, you know, I love seeing you at AEW. And we were talking about Daly's Place. Can you tell us a memory, one of the best memories that you have in Daly's Place, especially during COVID?
And then I love the, I know it was a rough time for the world and country, but I love the lockdown Daly's Place times. One of my favorite memories was, so when I was in NXT, I would once in a while help babysit -1 Brody Jr., you know, and I knew him as a very small little child, just running around, you know, making messes. But then when I came back, it was his birthday party, I think, and Luchasaurus and Trent Beretta were both like, hey, you should come to Jacksonville, say happy birthday. And I thought, all right, let's do it. I'll travel there, you know. And Amanda was like, do you remember him? And then he just stares at me and goes, no. I think he said, who are you? And I just started laughing so hard. And I was like, man, I just flew across the literal entire country to say happy birthday, bro. Anyways, but then we became buddies again. That was kind of a funny memory for me.
That's awesome. You mentioned earlier about Glow, and I didn't know this. So there was like episodes taped for Glow for another season that never aired.
I don't know if they finished the season, but I was in the first few episodes playing a guy named Tony Maroney, an Italian.
Tony Maroney.
We made, like, I have the merch in my room still of his face or my face, another gold chain. I love being like a gold chain guy. I got to start wearing a gold chain for my own self, maybe. Yeah, the season seemed to be exciting. The main character was going on the road with an actual women's touring wrestling company and having adventures out there, and then, you know, leaving the Glow show basically and getting really out there in the real wrestling world. But I guess it was not to be. What a bummer that was to hear about that.
Yeah, the only thing I can think of, and you would know better than me, because that show was a hit on Netflix.
Yeah.
It was a big, big hit. The only thing I can think of is because of the lockdown and because of the pandemic. Like, I can't really think of anything else why you wouldn't go there.
I worked on that show, and then a few weeks later, I did an episode of AP Bio, the NBC sitcom that was on back then, a very funny show. We did, there's a wrestling episode. So I was the chavo of that show, basically just, you know, helping them with finding a ring, training actors and stunt people, finding wrestlers, whatever. And I saw someone on the final day of shooting wearing a face mask. And I said, hey, what's that all about? And he said, you know, that pandemic that's going, the flu that's going around. And I said, oh, I don't know. I didn't hear about it yet. And I just, that moment is just burned into my brain as me going, okay, don't know what that is. And then the very next day, bam, 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 just everything closed.
Just shut down.
Everything just shut down.
But Thunder Rosa, something you said earlier about supporting the wrestling community and helping these projects and everything, I wanted to just chime in. I had that same feeling on the Iron Claw. In days that I didn't work, I knew that there were other wrestlers doing matches and stuff. So every day that if I didn't have my own stuff, I would text Chavo and go, is there stuff in ring? And he would say, yes, can I help? And he would say, please. And so any those other matches that were going on that I wasn't part of, I would just get in there and go, show the move on me, you know, help out, like anything I could literally do at all. And because I just felt this, it's kind of a community feeling of we're going to be creating, showing people who have never seen wrestling.
Yes.
And you want the best foot forward, really. So, yeah, that's, I did have, that kind of rang a bell with me. Yeah, so hell yeah.
And it almost feels like, and I, because I went and saw it with my wife, it almost feels like non-wrestling fans appreciate the movie more than wrestling fans, because as wrestling fans, we're kind of poking holes in it. Like, that's not how it went down. Yeah. We know the real story here and everything else. But for non-wrestling fans, they don't know the story. They're not familiar with the Von Erichs. So they're experiencing it for the first time. At least, Ryan, that's how I felt. I feel like almost like the non-wrestling fans have really appreciated this project a little bit more than a wrestling fan.
I completely agree with that. I think that as someone, as a fan or an expert on something, you tend to want, like you said, poke holes in and go, well, you know, a documentary I saw doesn't show this. We're not doing a reenactment. We're not making a documentary. It's not people doing impressions or impersonations of somebody. Like, it's a piece of art that is based on a thing that has happened, but this is its own thing. So, are you going to watch that Elvis movie and doing the same thing? Like, maybe, yeah. But you're losing one of it. You're not appreciating the art, the thing that we've created here.
Completely.
If you want a documentary or an impersonation, they're out there. Go find those. You know, this is not that.
Ryan, just getting back on you as a wrestler, what are some of your goals as a single wrestler and not with your brother that you want to accomplish in 2024, or things that you have not been able to do? And now that you have this opportunity, do you want to do?
Well, like I said earlier, I really look forward to working with my brother a lot more. Even when we were in the same company, it seemed like the people in the company didn't want us to connect with each other. I'm thinking back to a time when NXT did a show in Orlando and he was our big guest. And he said, I'll come do the show if I can wrestle Ryan. And I said, okay, that sounds great. And then the unnamed people at the time, just for a month before that, tried to cancel the match, cancel the show, have him out of it. And, oh, your brother doesn't want to wrestle you. And I'm in the car with him listening to this on the speakerphone going, okay, well, so I just know that right now we can finally do what we want without anyone else poking their nose in it. Speaking of that, next week we're going to Puerto Rico together for WWC's the big Euphoria show. So will the Nemeth Bros have some fun in Puerto Rico? I think if you're there, you get the show.
Oh, yes, for sure. Especially if you're going to stay in a hotel right there. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of women with thongs.
Women with thongs? Well, good,
yes, I was sitting down doing work and I was like, why are there so many women with thongs? Oh, it's very hot. That's what we wear, thongs. I love it. Perfect. I love Puerto Rico.
So yeah, I want to work with him. And then in the world of wrestling on my own, I think the little interaction we had at Wrestle Kingdom was a nice, really nice reintroduction to wrestling, to be showcased in a way that wasn't a silly punchline falling over myself like the Three Stooges with the Wingman or something. And that was fun and it served its purpose. But I'm greatly looking forward to showcasing myself as an athletic, serious talent, which I literally am in real life. So if a wrestling company can help me show that, that'd be great. Hey, thank you very much, boss. You know?
Wow.
Like I said, I enjoy being funny and fun and making people laugh, and that's great. But I am also a very good wrestler. So,
you know, Ryan, it's we all evolved in our lives as individuals, and we also evolved as professional wrestlers. Good and point. I think this is exactly what's happening to you. The door is open now, and you want to evolve as a professional wrestler, as a serious professional wrestler, instead of just because I've seen you do your job all the time. You did it to the T. You were entertaining. You were always in shape, and you were always with. I'm gonna tell you, David, Ryan always had a positive attitude in the back. I never heard you complain once. Ever. Wow.
Thanks, Donna Rosa.
So, and the fact that you have this chance to do this, and your brother is kind of like, I will say, the platform, the catapult that is going to take you to be where you want to be. That's fucking great. Let's fucking go.
Are you allowed to say that?
Yes. This is the first time in like an hour and a half. That's good.
Yep.
Well, listen, I had fun being in the Wingman. I had fun being the hunk, and it was great. But I'm have other stuff to offer. I'm literally an award-winning athlete, actor, and performer. And I'm literally a crossover star. Let's use that. That'd be great.
And unlike you, Ryan, I haven't evolved at all. So, Thunder, tell me more about Puerto Rico, please.
Okay. Last time I was in Puerto Rico. I was doing work by the pool, and I turn around and I see this beautiful woman wearing a thong. And then I turn around, it's another beautiful woman wearing a thong. And then I was like, and I said it out loud. I was like, man, everybody's wearing thongs. I was like, yeah, ma'am, you're in Puerto Rico. And I was like, right on. So next time I went there, I was wearing a thong. So there you go.
Nice. Okay. So I need to definitely pack my thongs.
So, you know, Ryan,
I don't know. Maybe a Speedo. So you get a real 10. I love Puerto Rico. Shout out to Puerto Rico, La Rosa Negra, who like sent me a message at 5 a.m. I love her and I miss her. Shout out.
For you, Ryan, in comedy, your inspiration, what's like, well, who is like your inspiration to want to get up there and do stand up?
Oh, man, my inspiration often are sketch and improv people. So Chris Farley is a huge one for me. And I think the sympathetic kind of boyish innocence of Chris Farley is something that I try to embody, which often people find adorable up there, which is nice. But he was so athletic also. I mean, I would hear stories from the Second City people that he would be on stage and just toss a backflip out there. And they were like, this guy's 300 pounds. And he just nailed the back tuck like on stage, and it made sense and it was fun. So he's one. Andy Kaufman, definitely, just looking at stand-up and performing in front of a crowd in such a bizarre way, like coming at it from all these different angles. I love that kind of thing. And a modern current performer and writer, Mike O'Brien. I don't know if you'll ever get a chance to see him, but he is one of the funniest live performers just ever. I love him.
All right. And you're going to be able to see Ryan on stage tomorrow night in Union Square. Tickets are still available. TheStandNYC.com. It's going to be Ryan. It's going to be Stokely. Kyle Lewis will also be performing comedy on my show at the Gramercy Theater on February 10th. So make sure you please go and support Ryan, support young comedy, support comedy in New York City, support stand-up comedy. So go to TheStandNYC.com for tickets. Thunder, are you going?
No, I was just, I thought you were going to say something else, but you know what, Ryan, it's been a pleasure to be with you in the locker room. It's been a pleasure to see what you do in the ring and outside of the ring. You're definitely one of those people that I look up to, because I myself, I'm going into an acting career, singing career. And
We need to have some sit down meetings and plan our future together.
I know, since you are like in LA and you know all the people, all the good people. So
yeah, whatever it takes, let's do it.
I think I was really happy to see you in New Japan. I was really, really happy. You deserve that. You deserve what you work really hard for. And like I said, you are one of those few people that always have a positive attitude and always have that excellence part of you. Like, you always want to show what's best of you. So thank you for that.
This has been an amazing boost for my ego being on this show. thank you. No, seriously, that's really nice. Thank you.
Ryan, good luck tomorrow. Good luck in the future, both on stage and in the ring. And don't be a stranger. We'd love to get you back on again. And thank you so much for the time this morning.
Oh, before you leave, can you let our listeners where they can follow you? So if they want to buy your merch, they want to see you and stand up.
Definitely. And let me give a quick shout out to Lady to Lady Comedy, who first let me be in stand-up shows in LA when I first started out. And if you're in LA this weekend, go see Jenna Freeman's show. You can find me everywhere, Rai Nem-Nem, Twitter, X, whatever, Instagram, YouTube channel, Rai Nem-Nem. That's my adorable
Wait,
cute
what
name.
What the fuck? Rai Nem-Nem? What's that? All right. It's different.
Like Ryan Nemeth, but cuter.
Okay. All right. Well. There
you
go.
From LA, you know?
It works for you.
Yo, what's going on? This is Bully Ray from Busted Open on Sirius XM's Fight Nation. For 15 years, we've brought you the best pro wrestling talk on the planet. And now, we're bringing you even more. Yo, guys, welcome to Busted Open After Dark. Every Wednesday night, as soon as AEW Dynamite ends, I'm bringing you instant reactions with the Busted Open Nation. The only place to party on Wednesday nights is Busted Open After Dark. With me, Uncle Bully. Download it on Apple, Pandora, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mickey, it dropped yesterday that you're the new creative director of OVW plus the head of female talent.
Thank you.
Congratulations. And man, the outpouring of love and support that I've seen. And Mickey, you know, when it comes to social media, sometimes it could be on shaky ground. Love and everything that came out and of support, and how this decision is really going to change OVW. You got to be happy response. Yeah.
I have to say the love from, you know, and the response from it has been all positive and all amazing. So I hope to be able to deliver to somewhat, you know, justify the love, I guess. I'm really excited though. You know, I've been wanting a way to like kind of step behind the scenes and learn more in that capacity and really try to, build and do something with, you know, women's wrestling specifically. And I think that they have a whole division there. There's a lot of opportunities and, you know, you saw Mick Foley there. He was there at the pay-per-view in the last, you know, television tapings, and he's coming in. And I think that, you know, I was there last Thursday for TV, and I was like looking at the talent and the stands, and I go like, I was sitting in those very stands, I was in your shoes. And I think, you know, there's a lot of history, you know, with myself, but with a lot of people in those four walls. And I think that all of us, you know, want OVW to win, and I think that they have a lot of opportunities there. And I'm just excited. I'm excited, dude.
I think you should be super excited. I mean, I was talking to Beth and Maria Canellis this Saturday, and they were sharing some of their experiences, you know. And I know, I think Beth was part of OVW too, was she?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so yeah. A lot of you guys that I personally look up to when I started watching wrestling in 2024, 25, you know, 2005. Sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say 2024, okay. 25,
sorry,
25.
That's in the future.
11 we're o'clock just, is just
a, we're going to put that manifest
it's like you
and
guys
stuff.
You guys have a vision and a perspective that some of us in this in my generation of the girls that I was brought up, we don't have. It's like one of the things that both of them said to us with the group that we were talking was like, make those little moments, those little 3 minutes on TV worth it. Right. And you and all of those women went through that. And yeah, like the way that you guys were able to get over is incomparable to like some of the stuff that we see now with the little time that you guys had. So I'm so excited for the girls that you're going to be working with on OVW, especially how hot OVW is right now with the knowledge that you have. It's just develop that and I really take it all in and make him, make him, you know, their own.
And I think that's one, I mean, you know, like trying to build something with women's wrestling. I mean, you know yourself just from your stuff with Mission Pro. So it's like, it's hard and it is a different show. But think about where we are in the business today that we can even fight for a women's wrestling promotion and more exposure when you think back, like, or when I think back to Beth and Maria and all of us, when we come in to go from 3 minutes on TV or from bikini matches, which we all did. And like, we made the most of those moments and they were amazing when we were in them, but we all knew that we were trying to build to make women's wrestling awesome, you know, and just make the most of what moments we would get. But to think of going from that space to now having, you know, Maria at the head of the table, you know, for the Women's Wrestling Army, for you with Mission Pro, with her in Australia, to be able to announce something like that with the Love for Empower when we did that for, you know, the Knockouts Knockdown at Impact, and to have all these things. And now I think that they do have a strong women's division down there in OVW and they're trying to build that. And I can see, you know, within Al and Maria's the head, you know, she works a lot with a female talent down there. There's just a lot of space to grow because I think obviously because of the love from Netflix, people are reminded of the history there and how much has gone through there. But it's also really that trying to make it story because all these talents there are trying to make it to that next level. Right.
Yes.
It's really great. And I think that kind of reminded everybody of their own story or how they got there, you know, the origin story of their characters. You think about, I mean, in my class, there was like Carlito, Nick Nemeth, Melina, Beth Phoenix. Like there was all these experiences with, and it's tough when you're trying to make it right. But yeah, I'm excited. I think there's a lot of growth down there. I'm specifically focused on the women's division, but also I think that like with character development, I think that's where I can really help with the talent in that kind of thing of, like you said, getting pretty much married to your character and who you are out there.
Busted Open is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please give a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast. Catch the full 3 hours of Busted Open every day of the week at 9 a.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Foundation, channel 156. Go to SiriusXM.com/BustedOpenTrial to start your free trial today.